Blog Talk Radio.
Children, hey, master. Open Our Eyes. Yes. One of my all-time favorites from EWF, Earth, Wind, and Fire, entitled Open Our Eyes. Again, as usual, that particular bumper tune is apropos for tonight's program. But before I go there, I'd be remiss if I did not inform you that you have tuned in to the right place at the right time. My name is Darryl Clark, and I'm your host of tonight's program, Progressive News Weekly. We're week in and week out on Thursday evening, on or about this time, 6:30 or so. We bring you live, for the most part, news and information that's gathered from around this country and even beyond its borders. It's news we love to say you can use. It's news for you, by you, and of you, because many, if not most, of our programs come from you, the listener, in terms of the either subject matter or our and guest. Tonight's no exception, and we have something in store for you that I believe you will truly find enlightening, informative, empowering, and hopefully something that will instill you to get involved and take some action and make a difference in you and your loved ones' lives. And so if you are tuned in with Progressive News Weekly through our mail list, you know who our special guest is. And if you're not, you'll want to do so by sending me an email to Darryl, D-A-R-R-Y-L, _ CLA 18 at MSN.com. And I'll add you to my mail list, and you will be privy who the guests are going to be on the program or the subject matter for the upcoming week. And you would, in this case, know who our special guest, or for in the case of this evening, our guests, that's plural, are going to be. So, with that said, I'm going to hold off on discussing just who those guests are, but I can assure you, you'll want to hold on to your seat to this evening, as I like to say sometimes. For those of you who are just tuning in for the first time, even though we're 4 weeks into 2018, Happy New Year, and I'm grateful that you have taken the time out to join us on Progressive News Weekly. If you're a new listener, welcome to the family. We do say that affectionately, because the programs are, for the most part, live, and we do encourage your participation in this dialogue. And when I say it's news intended for you to be involved and take action, and it's news for you, by you, and of you, of course, that's a takeoff on our Institution of the United States Constitution. Where I wouldn't, at this point, want to be any place else but, we do have to take a role in order for this country to be this great country. As our president likes to blurb, to make this country great again. He talks about that, and I'm talking about our president of the United States, frequently. Often alluding to himself, it appears. But really, what's going to make this country great again are you and I, and citizens like you and I. we're the ones that are truly going to make the difference. And so it's programs like these that can make the difference. And I encourage you to reach out, let me know what's on your mind in terms of engaging in that uncommon discourse to make this country a greater country. We have so very many problems, as you all know. Our watchdogs fail us. And what I mean by watchdogs is those agencies that are supposed to be looking out for you and I and our loved ones and our fellow citizens, such as the FCC, the Federal Communications Commission, which is supposed to be governing our televisions to see that, you know, we're not just being exposed to toxic material. Our FDA, which is supposed to protect our food and protect us in terms of the drugs that are being legally proliferated around the country. And I can go on and on. USDA. Federal Aviation. I mean, we can go on and on and on about these agencies that are in place to protect us, but need to do a much, much better job. I'll just start with the first one, the FCC. I mean, what's on television now is, it's from my perspective, out of control. Let me know what you think. During the course of this program, it is live. And so if you have a comment that's relevant, press 1 on your dial. If you did not dial into the program, if you're on your computer, you'll have to dial 347-838-9142. If you did tune in, because there's a few ways to get to our live program, you could use your computer and simply go to blogtalkradio.com/Renford and listen in, or you can simply call 347-838-9142. This is the new wave of media. My mentor and friend, Dick Gregory, when he first began to join me on the program and support me and what I was doing some 7-8 years ago. He used to say, "Daryl, this is the new medium, and you've got to stay with this. Don't worry about who doesn't listen. Don't even worry about who does. Just keep at it. It'll catch up with you eventually because you're way ahead of this curve." So I've been at this now some 10 years. Yeah, it's now 10 years I've been doing this, folks. So many of you who have just been listening for a few years are probably saying, "Wow, you've been doing this for 10 years?" Yeah. And that's why I ask that you share Progressive News Weekly. Share Progressive News Weekly with your friends, your family, your neighbors. If you're tuning in and have been tuning in, you know the type of material that we bring to you. It's not typically news that you get on mainstream media. And if you get some of the stories that we're bringing, it's typically skewed with a business or political interest with some spin on it, or it's just not given the time that it deserves. So again, we need you, the listener, to spread this. I think about a syndicated program, it just came to mind. There's so many out there. Michael Based, and many of you may know, FM radio, I could call him a disc jock on the radio, did very well some 10 years ago on the radio. And I can just remember friends and family, "Oh, have you heard Michael Based's show?" And I used to tune in and I thought it was significantly a very good show. There was significantly some parts of the show I didn't care for. I don't do the reality thing real well. When I say the reality thing, not in terms of being real, because we keep it very real, but in terms of the sensationalism and you know, babies, daddies, mama, and I don't do all of that. And it's not to say that there isn't some validity there in terms of that type of programming. It's just that I don't do that, and I think for the most part he did very, very excellent programming. I love some of the things he did in terms of promoting small businesses, especially in the African-American community. So I was encouraged by the work that that Michael Basin was doing. My point for bringing that up is he and his work spread like wildfire through significantly word of mouth. And so if you are tuning in, the question is, who are you calling? I can remember my sisters calling in, friends from all over the country. So what are you doing? Just tuning in to your progressive news, or are you sharing? Because if we're going to, and you believe in this show, and if you're listening to it, I would think you're believing in it. If we're going to get the impact that we want, we need to increase the listenership. So I can't implore you enough to share Progressive News Weekly, folks. Now, with that said, I am going to get into our program for this evening. I am so pleased to announce, for those of you who are not on the mail list, that tonight's special guest is Dr. Glenn Mendoza. I can hear the clapping. Dr. Mendoza is a medical doctor, first and foremost. He's an author. He's a astrologer, astronomer. He's a humanitarian, I like to say, more than anything. And he's just a wealth of knowledge. He's a friend and has become a mentor of mine in many ways. He's one of only a few pranic healers, and for those of you who are wondering what is a pranic healer, we'll get into that just a little bit in a moment. And with all that I've said about this man, you can imagine he has a very, very busy schedule. And so this is a treat, and when I'm able to have Dr. Mendoza, affectionately referred to as Master Glenn, on the program, and I say that it's a treat, it really is, folks, because his services are sought after not just throughout the United States, but around the world. And so Dr. Mendoza, who will be joining us shortly in just a few moments, is truly, Dr. Mendoza is truly, I can just say, a treat to have, and it's a blessing. He has come on the program and been a partner of Progressive News Weekly. As I said, he's become a friend and a mentor of mine for many years now, being an author. And we're going to talk a little bit about his book, his latest book, if we have some time as well. Meditation expert, astrology astronomer, and in fact, we're going to talk a little bit about that astrology and astronomy piece, which I think you're going to find very interesting, because this is a very special time that we're going through in those terms. So without further ado, as I know Dr. Mendoza is very busy, we're going to bring him on the line with us now. I believe we've contacted Dr. Mendoza. Dr. Mendoza, are you with us?
Yes, yes. How are you?
All right. I'm just peachy. How are you? Happy New Year.
Good. Happy New Year to you, too. Nice to be excited to be in your show. That's very nice.
Well, it's always a pleasure, an honor, and a thrill to have you on, Dr. Mendoza. And this makes our
our collaboration very special because of what's going on that you and I were talking about earlier in the week with regard to the moon. And
yes,
you have so much to share in terms of meditation, healing from a non-traditional perspective, although you are a medical doctor, and from a perspective of understanding astrology and sun and lunar energies. You have so much to share. We truly appreciate it. But what I'd like to start with today is this phenomena that's going on. You have shared with us the supermoon over the years and what that means. You've shared with us a blue moon and what that means. You've shared with us, in terms of the moon, lunar eclipses and what that means. But something special is going on this particular month, and I'm going to let you share with us what's happening with regard to moon energies, and then we'll get into what energies we're talking about. But what's happening with the moon?
It's interesting. We talked about the three important things that will happen on January 30, 31st. Actually, there, as you said, there's a super moon. It's the second super moon. The super moon is basically, it's the moon does not rotate in a circular fashion with the Earth. It sorts of like an oblong type of thing. So it's closer to the Earth. That's why it's, I think it's around 14% closer and 30% brighter. So that's why it's called the super moon. And it's also the blue moon. It's the second full moon of the month. The first full moon was January 1st. It was also a super moon, and now it's a blue moon. That's why they said blue moon doesn't come that often, maybe once or twice a year it happens. And the other thing that will happen is actually a lunar eclipse. So there's a lunar eclipse that will happen on January 31st. So that's basically one of the all these three combined, I think, have not happened for a long period of time. If I remember, over around 156 years, I think the last time this happened was around late 1800s. So it's really an exciting time for the for not only for the moon, understanding the moon, but basically energies of the, like what you're saying about energies of the moon. So even NASA is really excited of the super, they call it the super blue blood moon. In the Indian tradition, I think they call it blood moon. So it is coming. This is what they call the lunar trifecta that will happen in the early morning of January 31st. So that's basically an exciting time, not only for, like what you said, on an astrological or astronomical level, but also in the also the energetic level of the moon. We're also on the Aquarius on January 31st. We are in the midst of the Aquarius, the sign of Aquarius. So for those who are listening to you, the qualities, usually qualities which abound are the positive qualities which we look at in Aquarius. Aquarius is just like your show, it's progressive. Aquarius is a mind. It's an air sign. So a lot of thinking. So when you say people who are Aquarius are progressive people, they are also honest, truthful, and just. They have a lot of patience. They're curious, and they have a imaginative perspective and affectionate personality. So those are the qualities of Aquarius, which we usually are expecting at this time. They're independent. They're free-spirited. They could be a little eccentric, and I remember they're independent and mysterious in some form. So the Aquarius a person in Aquarius usually longs for romance and good conversation. I like Aquarius in a certain way. Of all the air signs, Aquarius is something that any could be matched for most of the signs. What else? Any other characteristics? It's just you have any questions, so I just have so...
Let me ask you. I have a question. You mentioned these three phenomena that are going on and haven't happened in decades and won't happen for many decades, again, at the same time. Now,
yes,
taught most of our listeners, because most are repeat, even though I'm proud to say each week we do have some new listeners, but most of our listeners have been taught by you that there are certain energies associated with a full moon. So if it's a... And the last time we had the super moon that you were able to be on the program, you mentioned the increased energy, like you said, 30 or 40 or 50% increase in size, which does equate to greater energy. So now with it being a blue moon, two moons within a certain time period in a month, and also a lunar eclipse, and a super moon, is there a greater degree of energies that are available, or that doesn't play into the energy piece?
If I remember, a lot of studies have that. Some people will say that there is a direct effect, but by and large, statistically, they are not significant in some ways. We know during full moon, there's a hospital they go really very busy. Psychiatric hospital go really crazy. But by and large, the studies have shown, I read some studies, they are not statistically significant, although we've seen them, the traffic itself, that what happened was that the moon, the effect of the moon has been noted in a lot of things. Number one, we know already the effect on the moon and the sun is actually in the tides. So usually high tides and low tides are affected in the moon. Why is that? The human body is also 75% water. So ask whether the tides work within us. Some people say that perhaps during the full moon there is internal changes in human behavior. But science, I'm just basing it on science. From astrological point of view, there is a change. But from science and statistics, they see it, but they don't see it consistent enough. We know the sun, the moon and the sun combine to create the gravitational effect on the oceans. And they do affect that. Also, moon affect fertility. Moon affect the fertility. In fact, on some pregnancies also. In fact, there was a study wherein are more babies born when there's a full moon. They know that the cycle of the menstrual cycle is actually based on the moon. I don't know if we know that. Some people on the lunar calendar, menstrual period around 28 days, which is actually the lunar cycle. Interesting. So we have a lot of studies have shown, but as I guess again, scientific studies disprove the notion. There's no increase in birth during full moon, no correlation between the full moon and deliveries. I guess you have, it's just the statistics. I'm throwing in the science part of it. From astrological point of view, it is significantly stronger. So again, going back to the new, some of those who have started to listen to our moon day discussion of the moon, during the full moon, actually people think that it is the effect of the moon, because during the moon is further away from the sun. Well, in fact, astrologically or energetically, the effect is maximized by the effect of the energy of the sun. So that we concur that the full moon just happens to be nice during the full moon. But actually, we are actually working on the magnified energy of the sun, or sun energy. So people from olden times, and now it's picking up, you will see it in social media, like people will meditate during the full moon because it's the mother of energy during the month. When you meditate during the full moon, the energy is proven to be much stronger than any part of any time during the month. So since 1994, the Center for Pranic Healing have been organizing a meditation, full moon meditation, every month. So that's, you're talking about almost 20 years. No, 14. Almost 23 years. So all throughout the world, there are people who are meditating just to connect during the full moon. What do we connect with? Connect with the divine. Number one, it's based on energetic account. We're in during the time of the full moon. There's tremendous amount of energy. So with the tremendous amount of energy, people will feel it. They will get energized with it, and they could use this energy as they're energized to bless their families, their loved ones, bless their homes, and bless their projects. So that's just as simple as that. In fact, some groups will say the purpose of the full moon meditation is actually as a service to Mother Earth. During the full moon, when groups gather, if people gather in groups, they bless Mother Earth and for peace, for world peace, for the troubled spots of the world. But since the people are so energized, they could bless their family also. So, by and large, on the full moon meditation is based on energetic. Is based on energy. And we also, on a sidebar to that, during the full moon, this particular sign, all of us are born in a certain month, on a certain sign, and we capitalize on the qualities of that sign, as it is, it's the sign is stronger during that month, and what better way to absorb the certain positive qualities of that sign than the full moon?
So, regardless of whether you're born under that sign, during that particular sun sign, you can meditate and reap some of the attributes of that particular sign?
Yes. In fact, if you, like, say, for example, it's now on Aquarius. For those who are in Aquarius, these positive qualities are even exalted. So what happened, it's even strengthened. At the same time, for those who are not, we could absorb these positive qualities of the sign of Aquarius. So
yes. Honesty and truth, just and curious, affectionate, independence, those things are attributes that we can highlight, enhance in our lives during this particular time period?
Yes. By and large, the 12 signs have different positive qualities. You have to understand, we're focusing on the positive qualities. So each sign has its own strength. So each sign has its own strength. You are Aquarius, you are Cancer. This is a water sign. You have your strength. You're becoming the homebody. You think of the family. Those are important signs, qualities that other signs do not have. The Aquarius have its own signs. They're, as I mentioned, they are curious, they're affectionate, truthfulness, just, imaginative than any other sign. So gathering all these qualities makes the what we call the perfect man, because he has all the qualities of the sign. I always feel that we absorb some of the qualities in that particular sign. We sort of absorb them energetically or imbibe them, or they're exalted during that time. So we could have a quality of that particular sun sign.
Now, you're not saying that, for example, in my case, a Cancer, Cancerian, does not have honesty or truthfulness or is not curious, just for the sake of our listeners understanding that. No.
Yes.
You're saying an Aquarius is more emphasized, or you're not saying that, for example, you said that a Cancerian has attributes of, you know, enjoying home and, you know, being at peace, and that you're not saying that other signs don't have those qualities. It's just more emphasized. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yes, or? I think the astrologers call it exalted. Those qualities are actually exalted. So, example, Aquarius is Aquarius. Remember the song 20 years ago? I'm sorry, some or 30 years ago, but apparently your audience might be also the millennials. When the moon goes into the seventh house and Jupiter aligns with Mars and peace, the sign of Aquarius. Yeah. So what happened? Aquarius is the sign of the future. It's a sign of a future. By and large, you see Aquarius is the water bearer. That means it reflects the bringing new life to, I think, the for future promises. So also, Aquarius is an air sign. So we don't know. Remember, we talked about this about a year ago. We're in when was the Aquarius? The previous sign was Pisces. So when was Pisces interfaced with Aquarius? So what happened, we are actually in Aquarius. My teacher, Grandmaster Choa, mentioned one time, look at Aquarius. Aquarius is an air sign. Actually, if you have to look at it, Pisces is a water sign. So look at the difference, how things are. When you give medicine, usually in the Pisces, you give them in liquid form, or sometimes in tablets. In Aquarius, you're probably giving them in form of energy. Look at Aquarius also, the boom of internet. The boom of internet has been, it's like an Aquarian trait. Everything is through the waves now, which is an Aquarian sign. And also we said Aquarius is progressive. The desire to travel throughout the space is also exalted, or is also increased at this point in time. Interesting. In fact, Master Cho was saying was that, remember before, you people go to the emergency room, and if you're sick, they put an IV on you. It's water or liquid is being poured into them. In the future, probably energy will be given to them. In medicine, look at the MRI, the explosion of MRI and high technology usually uses no contact now. Interesting.
Now, I didn't understand. You said there's no contact. What does that mean?
Yeah, that means it's air. It's like in the future, medicine will also change wherein it's energetic. In fact, he was sort of, put it this way, before healing could be done through water and healing could be done through liquids, and now healing could be done through pranic healing, like energy. Hello?
Okay, yeah. Yeah, yes, that makes nothing but sense. Yeah.
Yeah, so energy, so it's just, which is Aquarian in quality.
You know, that's an excellent segue. You're talking about the energy. Can you share about that pranic healing? Because whenever you're on, I always get a call or an email or text. Because, of course, when I send out the broadcast about the upcoming program when you're on, it goes out to hundreds and folks, you know, hear just, you know, a little blurb about you and, you know, pranic healing, author, meditation, expert, astrology, astronomer. And so in some programs we emphasize, you know, the pranic healing piece and what that is, and in some we don't. And so would you just share that healing, because we, again, always have new listeners, and I believe repetition for those who have heard this is always good because it breeds familiarity, which breeds comfort. So can you share a little bit about this pranic healing?
Pranic healing is actually it's one of the fastest growing complementary therapy in the world. I say that because we have pranic healing of over about hundreds of thousands of practitioners throughout the whole world. Name a country, it's in almost actively in about 120 countries. And most of them have almost every month. So I was just calculating with some of the, compare it to acupuncture, to compare it to the other complementary therapy. Pranic healing is a very active form of alternative and complementary modality. What is alternative? Alternative healing, people have heard of alternative therapy. Say, for example, you go to a doctor, you go to a physician, the physician says, okay, you have a knee problem, I will advise surgery, or I would advise medication. An alternative therapy, that means you don't follow that conventional therapy. Say, I opt for acupuncture. I opt for herbal therapy. So you are actually alternative form of treatment. Complementary is actually you add it on. So that means complementary, you still have the conventional medical treatment, and you complement this therapy with that treatment, and that is what pranic healing is. Pranic healing is an energy modality. We believe that energy is everything and everything is energy.
So
we believe that.
Tell us a little bit of an example when you say that it's a complementary health modality, pranic healing, and it utilizes energy, and apparently it doesn't necessarily have to involve the physical so much as an energetic piece. As an example, it's not a situation where you have to put your hands on someone necessarily, or what does it look or feel like?
What happened, let's describe it a little bit more. What happened was that in some, if a person, say, you have a shoulder pain or you have a knee pain, what happened? That means energy is not flowing. Energy is not flowing. That means there's an obstructive energy on that particular organ. So pranic healing will release that energy, so energy will start to flow. Let's go first to the assumption that if energy is flowing, a person is healthy. Make sense? If energy is completely flowing into our whole body, there is health. We know that from acupuncture, because acupuncture have introduced us to the four ways. So pranic healing percent both energy.
Dr. Mendoza, Master Glenn, we're losing you. It's breaking up. You're breaking up a little bit.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Can you hear me now?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
So
we can
it's
hear you now.
Easy. Oh, so what happened was that by loosening up this obstructing energy, energy will flow, and there will be relief. Say, for example, a person has a headache. That means there's some congested energy there that is not flowing. So pranic healing with a simple movement of the hand will relieve that that congested energy. It goes through to all parts of the body. So by and large, it's based on two principles. Number one, the principle of the body has an innate ability to heal itself. We know that, but not know that. Say, for example, we have a sore throat. It's been going on. How many times we have a sore throat or have a sprain and never go to a doctor? Why? Because the body starts to heal itself. But there are times where in the throat infection gets worse. There might be have bronchitis or the sprain doesn't relieve itself. We go see a doctor, and the doctor will probably give us some medication or antibiotics. Of course, the antibiotics help, but at the same time, the body is still healing itself. The medication just helped it a little bit more, but the body continues to heal itself. We know that because there's always a turnover of cells, new set of cells in all parts of the body. So pranic healing works along this principle, the principle of the body has a innate ability to heal itself, and the principle of life force. This life force, or which we call qi in Chinese, it's called ki in Japanese, it's called manas in Polynesian, it's called prana actually in Sanskrit. This energy, once you apply it to a certain part of the body or organ, the healing process is accelerated. That is just as simple as that. So these are the principles. You mentioned something about in the olden times, people, what they call laying of hands. They lay their hands to a certain part of the body, but by and large, there is a little bit of principle in it, but not a lot of people are aware of it. So they said, oh, you have a pain? Okay, let me just rub my hands and put it on top of your a part of the body. In some instances, it may relieve. But pranic healing is more or less a systematized, methodological approach of things. So you have step one. You have to know what is the energy. Is it congested energy? Energy could be congested. That means over or depleted or normal. So there are three ways to see the energy. We're doing okay, so that means energy is flowing normally. There are times wherein we hurt our knee or sprain our ankle, so that means there's congested energy. And there are times wherein energy is depleted, so you have to give energy. Do you understand? So the approach of pranic healing depends on the presentation of the energy of that particular organ.
Okay, that makes sense. Blocked energy is illness or imbalance, and flowing energy is health and wellness. And the two principles make sense to me. That innate ability, I don't think anyone would, you know, deny that there is some innate ability of the body to heal itself. How about a paper cut, which anyone over 5 years old has probably experienced, right? You look around, and there's a paper cut, and usually if it's on your finger, you put it in your mouth, and voila.
And, Daryl, usually you could even move it to relationships. Your relationships
okay.
are flowing. If the relationship, your relationship with the person you love, your family, moving, so that means it's healthy. Somehow we have relationship that is stale or not moving or negative, that means energy is not flowing. So for a healthy relationship to be healthy, it has to flow. It has to encourage communication, encourage intimacy, encourage honesty, love, that kind of thing. So in the relationship, energy is also affecting. And move it to a group of people, if there is energy, society is moving. And you could move it to another level. If a country is progressive, if a country is healthy, that means energy is flowing. That is the idea. So by and large, we believe that energy is everything. We just have to simplify it so in our mind's eye, we could understand what is happening.
Yeah, that's really profound to even take it beyond the individual health aspect to a broader aspect. And you know I'm going to go with this, Dr. Master Glenn, and that is thus benefit of meditation. When you start talking about twin hearts and, you know, of course I'm segueing to that.
Yes.
With regard to being able to impact through energy, is not meditation a form of energy exchange or
yes.
is that not the case?
You got it. Actually, meditation, people have difficult time with meditating because it's sort of to quiet our mind, to quiet our thoughts. Sometimes if we're so busy, you could see a person who's so busy. Actually, for us New Yorkers, we move fast. So our body moves fast. So sometimes people who live in a fast-paced life, very difficult for them to meditate. That means to slow their physiology and at the same time be in a quiet or a calm position. So meditation will do that. Meditation has a lot of purposes depending on what the person wants. Meditation could give you some relaxation. Meditation could relieve you of your stress. Meditation has been good also for health. There are some people who have blood pressure issues, and through meditation, they are relieved. Meditation also, you could find, as you go up, you can find inner peace. And as you go up further, some people, as they go deep into the meditation, they experience something closer to the divine. So these are really, I'm being upfront with it, wherein some people think they just meditate and close their eyes and feel God. It takes time. Some people may be shorter than others. Some people, if they are relaxed, they have inner peace. They have clarity, or they have energy inputs from their higher soul, as we can say, or from the divine. That is good. So these are different stages or different levels of meditation. The simple one is meditation on twin hearts, as you mentioned. this is the staple or basic meditation. We've done scientific studies throughout the years. People follow it, whether they have whatever religion they have, whatever culture or philosophy that they follow. By and large, I haven't seen a group wherein they could follow a certain meditation without crossing religious beliefs. It's more acceptable. We've seen people in practicing meditation in Twin Hearts who are Jewish, who are Muslims, who are Hindus, who are Jain, who are Sikh, who are Buddhist, who are Christians at the same time. Acceptable.
Oh, wow, that's universal. Talk before I forget, because I want to, I know your time's short, talk a little bit about your next Twin Hearts global meditation. When are you doing this? This one I would think is special because we've got the three aspects of phenomena with regard to the moon.
We usually do it closest to the full moon, so we're going to have the meditation on January 30th at 7:30 p.m. So that will be, I believe, on Tuesday, on January 30th, on Tuesday, and this will be global. We'll have a global meditation. They could connect with PranicHealingUSA.com, PranicHealing, P-R-A-N-I-C, Healing, H-E-A-L-I-N-G, USA.com. And the information is basically be given there. I would like also to invite, I'll remind you also, Daryl, I'm giving a class actually on the level one pranic healing this weekend in Lyndhurst, New Jersey. We're organizing a big class wherein I don't teach this now. I teach higher workshops, but for training purposes, I'll be teaching this to almost around 50 people at the Center for Pranic Healing. Coming from different places, different states, so I could teach them this pranic level one pranic healing. So I invite your group, those who are listening, if they're interested in attending the workshop, you could also go to the website, PranicHealingUSA.com, for the weekend workshop, Saturday 9 to 6 and Sunday 9 to 6. There we also teach you how to do the meditation, experience the meditation. And within this two-day workshop, a person will be able to actually heal simple to slightly moderate cases like headache, toothache, sprain, pain, stomach aches, vomiting, those simple conditions that could be treated. The cost of the workshop is $300 to $350, depending on the books that accompanied it. But by and large, we look at it this way. It's an investment for oneself. If you learn it, imagine what you can help yourself and help your family and your loved ones. This is an invitation. I offer it to your group, and I offer it to for you, Daryl, if you'd like to come. That will be perfect. I'll follow up with you.
Yes, definitely. So PranicHealingUSA.com for
yes.
information on the workshop, and it's not done very often.
Meditation.
At a very basic level. Meditation,
yes.
Pranic healing, learning to heal and help loved ones. And others.
Yes.
And so $300 to $350 is a small investment for something that can last a lifetime. So
oh,
I would encourage all.
Thank you. Thank you. Imagine if you have a pain, if you could relieve it, you could help your loved ones, yourself, and it's an investment. It's a personal investment. Sometimes we have to invest on things that we could learn so we could apply it into action. This is one of those. This will improve once. This will be held in Lyndhurst, New Jersey, around 5-10 minutes from the Giant Stadium or MetLife Stadium. So it's Lyndhurst, Lyndhurst, New Jersey.
All right. Again, and before we go off the air this evening, I'm going to mention that again as well, to encourage listeners who are in the metropolitan New Jersey and eastern Pennsylvania and southern Connecticut and New York area, and northeastern New Jersey, and even beyond the. But as you said, there are probably those who are seeking, who understand the value, who are probably traveling across many states to make this class. So I'm enthused with it.
Yes, we're people coming from Atlanta. Yeah, Atlanta, North Carolina, Florida, to attend this workshop. So we know that for a fact. Philadelphia, Washington, D.C., we have different, even in the upstate and New England states also. So we don't. I don't teach it this often, but as I mentioned, that it is one way to boost up the year. As we have some trainers that I'm training right now, so they could teach this workshop also. Okay.
Excellent. Can I ask one last thing? And
sure.
So I know we've run out of time. We didn't really get into the book. I'm going to encourage our listeners to go and check out Dr. Mendoza's new book, Better Person Mindset: Be the Best You Can Be. Nine things to think and act by our own Dr. Glenn Mendoza. So what I'd like to do for the next time you're able to join us, hopefully next month, I'm going to encourage everyone, and I know some of our listeners had a treat when your book first came out, and you actually did a very kind thing, and for I think it was our first 5 or 6 listeners, you actually sent a book out to them. So by then, if they haven't, because I'd be remiss if I didn't say I didn't get the addresses out to your office.
We got it out. They got it out. They got it out.
Okay. Okay. So then by the next time you come on, hopefully we'll have some listeners who already have the book, but where can they get the book? Amazon or Barnes & Noble?
Amazon.com, or actually you could use our website. Our website also has the book. Amazon gives it out at $25, at least the on the PranicHealingUSA.com, we give it for $20. We just give it a little more discount.
Excellent.
Maybe next time we discuss it, we'll offer the same thing for the first 7 listeners that hooks in. We'll give them a free book next time I come in and discuss the book as we planned.
Excellent. Better Person Mindset. Go to Barnes & Noble, take a look, take a peek, and you'll see this is an excellent book. We've been doing a little bit of a review, in the months past, but I'm looking so forward to that, Dr. Mendoza.
Thank you.
There's a show out, Columbo, and in one of the things he's known for doing investigative work. Falk, I think
his
name. I can't remember his name.
Yes.
But I'm told so often, I remind people of that, because when I'm talking to people or I'm doing an interview, I give them the one more thing question. So this is my one more thing to you, Dr. Mendoza. Over the years, the many years, you've given us sort of a New Year's task, a New Year's perspective to go into the new year. I remember in years past you said, you know, write 5 things you want to do. Can you? And so I'm not looking for that tonight, because in years past you've actually taken the program itself in the very beginning of the year, the first or second week of January or the last week of the previous December, to kind of give us some guidelines to go into the new year. Can you give us one of those guidelines to just help our listeners go into the new year that you have utilized in terms of a practice?
Actually, we mentioned it in a certain way in this program. Just be a better person. If you have not been a better person, ask yourself the question, am I a better person now than I was a year ago? If yes, tap yourself on the shoulder. If not, you still have a chance to do it for 2018. And for those who are better, there's always a room for improvement. We always want to be a better version of ourselves as we move ourselves forward. I think that's my message.
Thank you so much, Dr. Mendoza. Dr. Mendoza, affectionately and respectfully known as Master Glenn, a true, true humanitarian. We thank you. We love you. And looking forward to you joining us again in the near future, Dr. Mendoza. I'll be listening for the full moon meditation, that's for sure, under the sun sign of Aquarius.
Bye-bye.
Well, listeners, that was Dr. Glenn Mendoza, who spent an enormous amount of time with us this evening. He's, as I said, sought over worldwide. I know for a fact he just got in from the Philippines, in fact, and he's all over the world, literally, from Asia to Europe to Latin America and just all over the globe. And he spent some time with us this evening just to share a special message, and I hope that you receive that. Again, his website is chronichealingusa.com, where you can get more information about his book, more information about the special global meditation that's coming up on next Tuesday. So tune in for that. And I'm sure you will have no regrets. And when he comes back, it sounds like he's going to do another special with his book, Person Mindset, Be the Best You Can Be. So that's a good exercise, right? Let's all just seek being better person. We have a treat following Dr. Mendoza. For those of you on the website, we have Mr. Ronald Crenshaw, again a friend of Progressive News Weekly. And traditionally, over the many years, he's a long-term friend of Progressive News Weekly, historian. He is a research historian as well, and politically astute, without allegiance to any one thing except for the progressive, and not in terms of a political party, but the progressive advancement of our society is what Mr. Ron Crenshaw is a seeker of truth, seeking truth to power. And so this evening, I've asked Ron to join us post Dr. Glenn Mendoza to talk a little bit, sort of as a state of the union of sorts, from Mr. Crenshaw's perspective of just where are we and how did we get here at this point and how and what might we look forward to ahead in 2018 from a societal and political perspective. We're all part of this process here in America where, again, this is a country for the people, by the people, and of the people. And Mr. has really done some interesting in terms of what's happened in our society over the many, many, many years and currently what's happening. So, Mr. Crenshaw, if you would, for these few moments, I know you've done this in years past, and if need be, we'll extend it into another program. Give us your insight, your perspective of where we are and where we may be heading in the months and years ahead from your insightful perspective, from a political and a societal, not just political, but from a societal perspective, and what might we be able to do as citizens of this great country to enhance our existence here. Mr. Kramer?
Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it very much to you. I will try to fulfill what you've said about me. I don't know whether I can, but I will struggle to do that because that is my wish to go forward as to be positive and to, you know, make people enlighten about what goes on in our society, and that it's a human thing that we have to struggle with. And I don't point it to any particular, you know, race per se. That's my central core, is trying to get people outside of the, you know, the concept of race, because that's unscientific. But anyway, you asked me what do I see in our future and what is taking place now. Well, the best thing, you know, I do is I try to read what is happening, you know, politically. And the reason I more or less center around the politics and political economy especially is because politics and economics are the root of our existence, in the sense that we have to, you know, have food, clothes, and shelter. So that's why I base that in that perspective. It's not to throw away anything else or to say that medicine is not important, you know, any of the other things, because all of those things together combined make us what we are, and we are a species like all other species. So I acknowledge that, and I try to push ideas that would help us go forward. And that's my central core. I know I've spoken in generalities, but I do that because that's the basis of where we are, and we go into more, you know, intricate things as we move ahead. But I see that it's our political economy is the thing that we must struggle with and must try to learn to understand better, so that we can better ourselves and try to make positive progression. That's what I'm, you know, seeking. And, you know, I'm no outstanding mental giant or anything like that. You know, I'm an average Joe, and, you know, I make mistakes just like anyone else, and I try to, you know, pick up the marbles and continue on and try to do better. That's where I'm at. But as I see, currently the political economy is kind of struggling. To me, that's what I see in what's going on, because the U.S. relationship with other countries is, kind of tangled up. With the current president, he's representative of where the country's at. I mean, or he wouldn't be president. He's representative of that. And for all of his weaknesses and, you know, blatant weaknesses and some strengths, there are some strengths. But most of all, it's like, how do we get back to such a, you know, to me, how do we get back to such a position where a president, you know, puts down people and things of that sort? What's going on, you know? And most presidents, even though they have to do shady things, but they try to come off as a positive person. And I'm sorry if this is not what people want to hear, but sorry to say that the president doesn't come off that way. He comes off rather childish and, you know, like a mental midget. I have to say that because of what he says and what he, you know, predicts and where he wants to go. Things of that sort are kind of irritating, you know. And I see that as something embedded into the capitalist system itself. I have to say that over and over, in the capitalist system itself, because it preys upon itself. It has to continually prey upon itself. And when I say prey upon itself, I mean it preys upon the people. The people of its own country, the people of the world. It preys upon that. That's where our struggle, to me, has to go forward, is to try to understand what capitalism does for humanity. And that's my central core. If you, if I need to make an example, I would say, well, off the top of my head, was the way they're treating immigrants, the way they talk about people who they consider to be lesser races, when, you know, that's unscientific. There's no race, you know, it's one species. And the one species all have the same qualities that each of them, you know, each of them have. So, I mean, there's always great scientists, and wherever you go, there's great scientists. So, I mean, so therefore, you know, calling certain countries, you know, waste areas or, you know, fecal, speaking about them as being fecal or, you know, waste, countries and stuff. I'm trying to make it nice rather than, you know, what he said and about, you know, certain countries, or say Africa for one, you know, is ridiculous. And, you know, and making America great again is if, you know, it's never been great. Or at one time it was great and now it's not. You see what I mean? It's always growing, and it's just a general struggle, and his view, his outlook is not it's not really a positive outlook to go forward with, and that's what troubles me. I don't know about the rest of the people. Some people think, you know, we need to make America great again, as if, you know, as if it's not great. And it is great, because countries are great, because they're human. And to say that some country is not great, I mean, you know, it's like it has to be a struggle at all times, and a struggle to learn, understand why things are going the way they're going. And capitalism really, I guess, has been pushed forward because of its great and the great inventions that have taken place, and they identify that with capitalism. Well, not so much, really, if one pulls back the covers, because it's a matter that people are inventive. Our species is very inventive. All the rising civilizations have collapsed, yet they have been great in a sense of pushing mankind forward. So, you know, you can't really say some country is not good or not bad. You know, it's like, you know, it's something you have to deal with and understand. So I don't know whether I've been vague to people or whether, you know, they hear what I'm saying, but I think I'm kind of explicit. But I'd like to hear from what you think about what I've just said, or did I go?
No,
you know.
I like what you said. No. You're on target. I mean, as I mentioned, as we excuse me, as we begin to conclude after the previous speaker, in a succinct way, I think you've done that a very, very, very good justice.
One of my
questions would be, you spoke significantly about the leader of our country, the president. How do you feel about other leadership? I mean, historically, we have a president, we've always had a president, where there have been troubling times, or even where there's been not so troubling times, there's always been some leaders that have been recognized broadly for having the acumen and respect to help move our country in the right direction. And with this being post-Martin Luther King birthday holiday and pre-Black History Month, as an example, and President's Month coming up in February, what leaders stand out for you, if any, today that seem like they're on track, if there are any that you see that have the potential, if they haven't already, stood out for you as having a really positive impact on our society?
That's a good question, a very good question.
So nothing jumps right at you, in other words, that says, oh, that's easy. And I asked that specifically. It wasn't a trick question to say.
No, I know it wasn't.
Are there any leaders? Are we lacking leadership from our civilian core, as in contrast or comparison to 30 or 40 years ago when we had so many things going on? Now, of course, there was turmoil in the country. There was a war. There were civil rights issues. But we have issues on a different plane, so to speak, right now, where we still have a need for that. So maybe it's not something that will require that type of leadership, maybe on a different level that we need that. But I just was curious what your perspective was, being a follower of history. Where are we with that?
Well,
a lot of leaders were younger.
Right.
Are students as engaged from your perspective as they were in years past?
I think of the people who have tried to improve the conditions of our lives. That's where I find the genius myself, is people who have tried to improve our lives. Such as the people who came to this country and tried to improve it. And if I look back, some of those people, where I'm centered, I guess, is the people like who wanted to change the oppressive nature of our country. Because we do live in a very oppressive country. And I think also of people who struggle to improve labor's relationship with the state apparatus. I go back with the Molly Maguires, who were revolutionary in the time. That was the early Irish coming here and being treated very, very badly. Of course, the Africans that came in at first as indentured servants. They weren't always chattel. From 1619 to around 1676, I would say, was when the chattel really gets going big time. Of course, there was the Dutch was here in New York. They had they were kind of loose with their oppression of Africans until the British came in and took over New York around 1664, somewhere along those lines. And then they put in to address the chattel again. This is what I feel is the courage of various African people who were progressive and tried to obtain equality here in America. A lot of Jewish people also came into the country struggling in that area. Also, I celebrate a number of them that have been very progressive. It's been, you know, a struggle in those terms of trying to get an acknowledgement and an improvement in terms of the relationship of in our class society. We have to realize that we live in a class society where one class, the very rich, oppress the poor. That's why we maintain the poor, because there's people who are very rich, and they get rich off of labor, and they try to keep that wealth. And that's why we have, you know, the ups and downs, it peaks, you know, the economy goes and peaks and then it drops again, you know. So we're in a phase now where the economy is very tight, very tenuous. And that's why we have, you know, a tax law that's taking money from the poor, giving it to the wealthy, because they feel that they're losing because things are more competitive and worldwide. They're more competitive because there are other countries that have started to build up, like China, Russia, you know, have built up, and they try to have more competition. So with more competition, then there's more of a struggle to maintain the wealth of those who are prosperous as opposed to those who are not. That's basically
right.
What I see. Now, maybe...
All right, so in terms of leaders, no one really stands out for you that you see on the horizon. There's no organization. I mean, you know, we have some of our organizations that have been there traditionally, the ACLU and SNCC, and those are old organizations that have been around, and they were there and developed for a specific purpose to, prevent or curtail racism and bigotry. Are there any organizations now out there? Now some of the problems that we're faced now for, but not as big on the radar screen. It was very obvious some of the racist issues that we were facing before. And now it's more of, as you're saying, a class and caste kind of a situation. So what organizations or individuals are out there talking about those things, if there are outstanding organizations or individuals? Because, again, there's a different battlefront. It's changed complexion. It may be the same battlefront, but maybe changed its complexion a little bit.
That's true.
That's why I ask, you know, is there anyone on that horizon that you see? And is there a need, I guess that goes without saying, for you know, such an individual or entity to help with these issues? Because it certainly is not a bliss, and that's an understatement when I say not a bliss, because you could still be doing very well and not be in bliss. Let me just say it more succinctly. We're our society, as well off as it is compared to some, third world society, is struggling. I mean, in terms of its math and science, it's, you know, STEM, science, technology,
yes.
engineering, and math. You know, we're behind in from most developed countries, and you know, our problems with our unemployment rates. So there,
right.
there are issues, the systemic issues there in this country, relatively speaking, that are very major.
That's right.
And I just don't see any point person or entity, organization that's out there that's saying, okay, let's galvanize and make a difference. And I haven't heard you say one that really stands out for you, and you being a reader and researcher as you are, is telling.
Yeah.
It really is telling
yes.
to hear that. But we've come to the top of the hour, Ronald, and
yes.
I appreciate your input. It was it's well stated.
Thank you.
Where you are with this, and I'm looking forward to you coming back to, you know, as
okay.
you said, drill down a little bit more, because I did, you know, kind of put you in a scenario as we had the closing
right.
of the program after our. You know, our key speaker that had been scheduled for many weeks. And I appreciate you coming in and sharing generally, at least to jog and stir some thinking amongst our listeners as
yeah.
to really what's going on. Because we have to do that, as you know. I think it's incumbent
right.
upon the grassroots. If something's going to change, it's
yeah,
got
well,
to
I'd like to mention
the grassroots.
Yes, I'd like to mention, I mentioned the Molly Maguires, because I thought that was very, you know, that was a very potent force of Irish seeking equality in the United States. And their black leaders, I've mentioned before, Paul Robeson and Du Bois, have been great contributors to this. And the other thing is the counter economic system that they're trying to keep suppressed is the understanding of you might say the understanding of communism. That's a gem in of itself that is being suppressed at all angles, and we see that in particular though. With the hero of, I can't think of his name. In other words, it was a young man who worked with NSA, and he brought forth the government listening in on the public in general without going through the steps that they were supposed to take. For some reason, his name skips my mind. But anyway, he's not allowed to come into the country unless he goes to jail. He's in Russia right now. Gee whiz. I know his name, and I can't call it. That hurts me when I get into something like that.
Yeah, I know who you're talking about. You're talking about... the one who was exiled,
Right. He's been exiled.
As a whistleblower, sir.
Right,
yeah.
as a whistleblower. And they are the ones who are the gems now that are struggling. And the young man that's in England in the Ecuadorian embassy, WikiLeaks, he's the Julian Assange. Yeah, he's another outspoken person that is outstanding. I feel these people are outstanding because they're standing up for the inequities that exist in our society, our current society. We have to realize that we are living in a dictatorship of the super wealthy. That's the thing most important. We're living in
now
a dictatorship.
Dictatorship of what? Yeah,
the
dictatorship
super
of what?
Wealthy. The super
yeah.
wealthy. That means
yeah.
the multi-trillionaires. Not one,
yeah.
multi-trillionaires. The people you see as wealthy, they're not the multi-trillionaires. We never see and acknowledge who the multi-trillionaires are. What their names
spoke through.
You're
not talking about Bill Gates and... You're not talking
well,
about those
Gates
guys.
Well, Gates is a multi-billionaire, but he's not a multi-trillionaire.
Yeah, you're talking about going back to the Gettys and then that kind of thing, right?
Well, yeah, right. The Rockefellers, the Mellons, the Morgans,
yeah.
The DuPonts. Oh, these
yeah.
are the golden boys. Oh, sure,
yeah,
they say
aren't
the golden
even on the
families.
Radar screen.
Yeah, yes,
they aren't
right.
on the radar
all one,
screen.
All
yeah.
one has to do, all one has to do is to pick up the book. The book is the 60 American Families. 60 by Lundberg. Lundberg is his name, but you see it right there. It's right
yeah.
there. And the
yeah.
rich, he made a second book, The Rich and the Super Rich. There you get the, you know, you get the substance of what we live
yeah,
in.
Yeah, what you're talking about. Yeah, yeah, yeah,
okay,
yeah. Okay,
the
yeah,
rich
yeah.
and
repeat,
the super rich.
For, yeah, repeat for our listeners. You had the two books was the 60...
The 60 American Families by Lundberg. And his second book is The Rich and the Super Rich. You can pay
both
me
by
no
Lundberg?
Mind. You, huh? Lundberg, right.
Both by the same man?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Rich... Well, by the way, was that Richard Snow, Edward Snowden you were talking about?
I was. Thank you. Edward Snowden. Right. Exactly. And, you know,
yeah.
there have been others. I mean, the fellow who, the reporter Gary Webb, who exposed the CIA drug dealing into South Central Los Angeles. He wrote his book, Dark Alliance. And he supposed to have committed suicide by putting two bullets in his brain. You get one in there, you don't usually get the second one. So, you know.
Yeah.
These
yeah,
are the
yeah,
things, you know. I mean, that was to undermine the overthrow in Nicaragua. The Sandinistas overthrew, I think, was it Somoza? I think it was Somoza. In Nicaragua. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know, this thing keeps going on and on and on. But, you know, we have to read. We have to read books and we have to read, you know, alternative books that are going to give us the substance. I mean, it's not that,
not true.
You know, it's not that we are just a bad species. It's just that we have to struggle. We have to struggle together and learn to know that, you know, we have to struggle with our species itself and that it's not one particular group, you know. It's not just white people. It's not that. It's how we have to struggle to see who we are and how to struggle and improve ourselves, all of us.
Yeah, all of us.
We can't focus
yeah.
on, you know, those mythological mythological ideas. You see what I mean? And that's the struggle.
Yeah.
For all of us.
Yep. That is the struggle. That's the plot. That's what we're up against. It really is.
Right.
And the sooner we realize that, I think you're right, the better off we'll all be. Ronald Crenshaw,
yeah.
thank you for
thank
taking
you
the
for
time
having
out
me.
This evening to join us and
okay.
enlighten us with your insight
you.
And perspectives. We're always looking for it when you're back to share new insightful information for us. So, and to our listeners, we thank you for tuning in to Progressive News Weekly again. And as Dr. Mendoza, our first guest, mentioned, we have a full moon meditation. If you'd like information, go to Pranic Healing, PranicHealing. USA.com and get the information for the global meditation next Tuesday, where there'll be a lunar eclipse, a supermoon, and a blue moon. And speaking of blue moons, that scenario doesn't come up very often, even more rare than a blue moon. We're talking decades before that'll happen again. So, there'll be a lot of energy flowing at that time, and a good time, as he said, to tap to some of those energies, because everything is energy and energy is everything. And with that, I thank you for the energy that you, our listeners, have put forth in order for us today to bring you this information. So with that, let's just stay on the positive. Brings to mind an oldie, oldie, but goodie. And let's just accentuate the positive. Tell someone about Progressive News Weekly, and we'll see you next week, same place, same time, with another enlightening program. God bless. Tell someone you love them, you love them.
Gather around me, everybody. Gather around me while I preach some. Feel a sermon coming on me. The topic will be sin, and that's what I'm against. If you wanna hear my story, then settle back and just sit tight while I start reviewing my attitude of doing right. You got to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, and latch on to the affirmative. Don't mess with Mr. In Between. You got to spread joy up to the maximum, bring gloom down to the minimum. Have faith or pandemonium, liable to walk upon the scene. To illustrate my last remark, Jonah in the whale, Noah in the ark. What did the